Each and every one tonight, and those that's able to come, the Lord bless you. And those that's tuned in this evening, the Lord bless you. Sister Eileen Jones was messaged me that she was not able to come tonight. David's not feeling too good. We want to pray for David tonight, that the Lord will daily touch him, and some others in the service as well. Just wanting prayer after the meeting tonight. So we want to give opportunity after the preaching of the word to pray for those that need the Lord's touch this evening. We want to turn to the book of Exodus tonight, and I want to read two portions, one from Exodus 30, verse 17 to 21. And I want this evening to continue with the subject of the tabernacle in the wilderness and the night. I want to look at the laver. Some would maybe say laver. I think the right way is maybe laver, but if I'm saying it wrong, I'm sure you shall not hold it against me. But I had this all prepared some weeks ago, and then obviously I wasn't here for a week with COVID and everything. But I went up this evening, I was prepared, but I thought I'd go up again for a wee time this evening. And I just felt the Lord's really emphasized something to me tonight to make very clear in this meeting. And just a wee something I want to make clear, and we'll see it tonight as we go into this. It's just something what in the Word of God and doctrinally. Let's read from verse 17 of Exodus chapter 30. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister to burnt offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and their seed throughout their generations. Now, chapter 38, verse 8 of Exodus. And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Then I want to read one scripture in the New Testament from Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Let us just bow this evening, and we want to pray for David Jones, and also for my uncle, John Deal as well, that the Lord will continue to touch him and just move on him as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous. We bless you that we have open access this evening, that we can come from your footstool into your very divine presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Father, we plead the merits of your blood tonight over everyone in this house. And all that's near and dear to us this evening, we plead the merits of the blood of the Lamb. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. We ask for Davy Jones this evening, you'll bless him and touch him. And oh God, you'll strengthen her sister Eileen. We pray for John Deal, you'll heal him and raise him up. Grant him mercy and grace and save his soul in the name of the Lord. Pray for any others that's tuned in tonight that need your blessing and your touch. Father, bless them and touch them and minister to them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Strengthen your people. And I take the Holy Spirit to help, my Lord. And I thank you that you will. And I take authority over every contrite spirit, even as a brother's prayed, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The laver stood between the altar and the tabernacle, and you can see, if you look at a picture this evening, you come in the gate and you come to the brazen altar of sacrifice. Then behind it is the laver or the laver. I'll try and say laver. I think that's the right way to say it. And then you go on to the door of the tabernacle itself. Now, also, if you were to go right inside through that door and you'd come to the table of showbread, would be on your right, and 12 cakes would be on that table, and them 12 cakes represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Then the menorah, or the golden candlestick, would be on your left, and then at the very bottom, before the holiest of holy, would be the golden altar of incense burning before the Lord. Now, that'll be other subjects tonight, but we want to look at this laver. And we know this evening that the mercy seat and the altar of incense signifying the privileges and blessings is all connected with a way of approach to God. Now, that the burning altar you saw at the start before the laver is Christ dying for our sins, and the laver is really like the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to look at a wee bit tonight. The laver comes after the altar. Now, this evening I wrote these words out because I wanted to get this right tonight, what I want to say here, and I penned this out just this evening, and it wasn't part of what I'd prepared, but I want to make a real emphasis of this tonight. And if our brother Matthew puts up again the first picture, what I tell you is this evening about this tabernacle. This tabernacle speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're looking at this tabernacle, you're thinking of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in it speaks of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The colors, all the instruments, everything speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. As a priest or the offer entered through the door of this tabernacle to worship Almighty God and to serve Him, he first came to the burnt altar or the offering there just behind that first gate. The picture of death, it was a substitute. The altar burnt offering was a picture of death, a substitute, a place of blood. It pointed, as we have already mentioned in many other messages, to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and Calvary. The starting point of our entire salvation starts right there. That's where it starts. It is a place of our justification by faith on the basis of the shed blood and the death and the resurrection of the Savior. This settles our salvation. So what I say this evening, as soon as you go through this gate and you come to the burnt altar of sacrifice, where are you? I want you to tell me this evening where you are. You're in the tabernacle. Now that's an important point. As soon as you come through the door and you come to this burnt altar of sacrifice, now I'm going to go on to preach about other things that's in it, but you're in. And what I say this evening, once you're in, you're always in. And once you're saved, you're always saved. You cannot be saved twice. Once saved, really saved, you're always saved. I want to emphasize that. And I believe the Holy Spirit this evening prompted me to stress the point this evening that once you're in, you're in. Because the tabernacle represents Christ. And once you're through the door, you're into the tabernacle. And once you're in Christ, you're in Christ. You're really in. Now there's further to go, but you're in, you're in. Isn't that wonderful? There's no works you had to do. There's no program you had to follow. All you had to do was come as you are. Jesus said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Even though no further progress has been made for many, the salvation question is settled. You're saved. You're not saved because you go on further.
You're not saved because you see the candlestick. You're not saved because you see the showbread. You're not saved because you see the golden altar of incense. You're saved because you came through the gate.
Amen.
The door to the sacrifice. That's why you're saved. Hallelujah.
Now I think that's important because you know there's a lot of people and they preach about all other things, but they never preach about that door. And there's another thing I want to say this evening. There's only one door into that tabernacle. One door. There's no side doors. There's no back doors. The door is at the start, at the front. And when you come in, you're in. Praise God. Everyone has stopped at the altar of the burnt offering and has come by faith. And the cross of Christ is in and he's saved. Since Christ is the tabernacle, we are in Christ. And the moment we step through the door and accept the sacrifice upon the altar, the priest in the tabernacle is a type of the believer. But this is the only, it's only the beginning, but you're saved. Salvation begins at the cross, but it certainly doesn't end there. The cross is the beginning. There's more for Christians tonight. There's a going on with the Lord, but we're not trying to say you're not saved. You are saved. But there's a going on with the Lord. And there's a going on with the things of God. The newborn believers now to go on to the next step, and then the next step, until he attains the final victory. And when you attain the final victory in this type of this tabernacle, you come right down through into the Shekinah glory, into the presence of God. And that tells me you're no longer working with a temporal source or a temporal light, but the light of the Lord himself. The Shekinah glory of God. Now that's just my introduction this evening for what I want to talk about. Praise God. You know, I know at least two preachers, and Brother George knows one of them as well, and they believe you can be saved, then the Lord could lose you. You know, but that's a contradiction to the Bible, because Jesus said, and I read it on Thursday night, none have I lost that thou hast given me. None. The Lord cannot lose what's his. Now you could lose yourself, but God couldn't lose you. And I believe salvation is absolutely what it says, eternal life. And it means what it says. Praise God. This labor here is defined in the dictionary as a washing vessel, a base, or a bowl. And maybe you could put the picture up again, Brother Matthew, of the labor. A vessel in the tabernacle of Moses, also in the temple of Solomon, where they sacrificed the animals that would wash their hands. The Holy Ghost, you know, in John 7:30 says, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. But after Calvary, then came Pentecost. Amen. And after we come to the altar of sacrifice, the brazen altar of sacrifice for the animals placed, we need to go on with God. We're saved. We're in. But we need to go on with God. And we need to come to the laver. And we need to come to God to the place of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A total separate experience from salvation altogether, but yet an experience from God that every one of us need. How we need the Holy Spirit today. How the church of God needs baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in Ephesians, whereby you're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit's so important. The Bible says the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we know that there is an anointing with the Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. First the cross, then Pentecost. Never be ashamed to talk about Pentecost. Never be ashamed to preach about Pentecost. Because Pentecost is the inauguration of the true church of God. And the Pentecostal blessing
an experience as real tonight as it was on the day when it was first poured out. It's as real this evening. The Pentecostal blessing. First justified by His grace, then sanctified through the truth. The lever was filled with water. The water is a type of the Word, the lever of the Spirit. The great truth here is a ministry of the Word and the power of the Word preached in the Holy Ghost. We don't just want to preach in the Word, but we want to have the Holy Spirit that anoints us to preach the Word of God, so that God's Word has a punch with it that will knock the devil back every time, praise God. Ephesians 5:26 says that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. This, of course, can only come after we have been justified from all things through the blood of His cross. If you do not know your sins are forgiven at this first altar, this truth that I'm going to preach tonight won't do much for anybody that's not already saved. But for those that's already saved, that's come to the cross, God has more for you. And He wants to give you more. And that more is the Holy Spirit baptism. Amen. Praise God. Trust Jesus Christ now. And enter into the inheritance revealed in this type here this evening of the lever. First of all, I want you to notice the origin of this lever. In Exodus 38, verse 8, we learn that the lever was to be made of brass or brazen looking glasses of the women of Israel. And we know before the women of Israel left the Egyptian bondage, they borrowed of their neighbor. Isn't that wonderful? Think of the things they borrowed of the neighbors, and now they're being used in this tabernacle. These looking glasses of the women of Israel. Praise God. Now, they belong to the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle. We read that. Now, there are two ways in which we might see ourselves. You can look at yourself through a mirror, and you can look at yourself and think how nice of a lovely fella or a girl you are. And that's wonderful, but God sees every one of us as sinful, vile, and wicked. Or else we can look at ourselves through the mirror of God's Word. And when any man will truly look at himself through the mirror of God's Word, he will see that he's a sinner without hope, without Christ. But thank God tonight there's hope with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, like these women, we could stand at the door of tabernacle and see ourselves in the light of the presence of a holy and a sin-hating God. And we could get disgusted with ourselves. You know, and we don't want to look at the person. I wouldn't want to be the person I used to be. I'm glad the Lord's cleansed me. I'm glad the Lord's washed me. I'm glad the Bible says we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. But we had to have a real look into God's looking glass. And God's Word, remember, Reinhard Bunke preached a great sermon once, and he took up the Word being a mirror. And he said, the Word of God is like a mighty mirror. And if you want to see with your light, look into the Word of God. Because God's Word is like a mighty mirror. Praise God. Looking glasses that we might get that which will give us inward beauty and adorning beauty. Not just the outward beauty and, you know, people dicking themselves up and all that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's an inward beauty. There's an inward beauty that comes from the Lord. And God wants us to be a sweet-smelling savor. And it takes the Spirit of God and the presence of God to aromatize us with the Spirit of God. That it goes up before the Lord, and then the servant comes off us because it's come of Him. Amen. And it blesses people and touches people. And it's the Spirit of the Lord. The choices still have to be made, even by redeemed ones, as to whether they will walk in the light of their own eyes, are in the truth as revealed and applied by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. A lot of Christians, you know, even though they're saved, even though they're in, they want to walk in the light of their own eyes, the kindling of their own fires. But may God rid us from our kindling of our own fires, and may the Lord give us the real fire and the real presence of the Holy Spirit, not our own kindlings. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Aren't you glad this evening as you walk with the Lord, he continually cleans you. He continually cleanses you. Praise God. Those who live according to their own standards are simply, you know, seeing themselves in their own looking glass. They have their own standards. And a lot of churches and fellowships have standards, but they're not Bible standards. Now, I'm sorry to have to say that, but that's the truth. We want Bible standards. You know, the children of Israel went out with a standard bearer before them. It was a flag on a pole. It was called a standard bearer. And we have one that's went before us, and he bore a flag. He's a standard bearer, and it was a blood-stained flag at Calvary. And not only did he bear the flag and he took out the standard, but he sent the Holy Spirit back to baptize the true church and give them power for service. Praise God. All the light such as come from the sparks of our own kindling is no use to us. We don't want that. The law of God is the looking glass to show us our need of the labor of regeneration. When Nicodemus, a man familiar with the looking glass, come to Jesus, he pointed him at once to the labor of an inward change that he wrought, could only be wrought by the Holy Spirit in John 3:5. Except you're born again, he told him. You must be born again. Nicodemus had all them laws and he knew all these truths, but he needed a change from the inside, a birth, a born again experience. He said, shall I enter my mother's womb a second time? Jesus said that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. You must be born again by the Spirit of Almighty God. Praise God. Also, I want you to see its purpose this evening. The purpose of this labor. The chief end of the labor was, of course, to cleanse, to wash with oil. Judicial righteousness was to be followed with personal righteousness. So there was a natural washing. And you know, John Wesley used to say, cleanliness is next to godliness. And it's good to wash. I think our brother Gary might have mentioned in one service about washing behind the ears. You know, I remember years ago, my grandmother came to watch us. My mum was in the hospital and one of the babies was been born. Maybe it was our Arnor Matthew. There's seven of us fellas in the cure. There's eight of us. But I remember my grandmother coming, and I still sometimes go and buy that red soap. You know that red soap? And Sharon says to me, what did you get that red soap for? But it's in my head, you see. They had the red soap. And my grandmother got the red soap. And she got the face cloth. And oh, we're washed. My grandmother says, you never washed yourself at all. I'll give you a wash. And I can tell you, when she washed you, you knew you were washed. She washed behind your ears all right. And she gave you a real good scrubbing every night before you went to bed. There's no such thing as, I'll do the night to tomorrow. You got an oil one the next morning again. Morning and night you were clean. That was a natural thing. But it was a good thing. A good scrubbing every night before you got to bed. And a good scrubbing when you got up out of bed. And you know, if we would take that and spiritualize it. Good in the natural as well. And get before God before we go to bed. And get before God as soon as we get out of bed. I'll tell you, we'll start the day on a different stack, wouldn't we? Instead of complaining and moaning and groaning, and get out with God and ask the Lord to fill you and cleanse you fresh from all things, and think upon whatsoever things are lovely and pure. The Bible says, think upon these things. Praise God. Oh, thank God. You know, my grandmother was a great wee woman. You know, I had the privilege to baptize her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's quite an age when and my grandfather as well. And I tell you, it really was something, you know. When you really think of it, it's the blessing of the Lord. It's God's mercy that could let you see that. And I just thank the Lord for it. And we're going to see them again one day. Amen. They're in, you see. They're through the door and they're in. Hallelujah. And nobody can ever take them out. If you have a loved one that was in, they're in there. They're in the tabernacle. They're in Christ. And the Lord's coming again. And you know what he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, thrust up to meet them in the earth. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What else does it say? Comfort one another with these words. Comfort yourselves. with these words. Be content knowing that they've went on to be with the Lord. It's a great thing, you know, when somebody goes and they're saved, you're going to see them again. Hallelujah. Inward cleansing was to accompany the act of justification. Perhaps the polished brass of the laver helped to reveal the uncleanness while the water would cleanse it away. It was like a mirror, you see. And even the water is like a mirror. It is at last the work of the Spirit to convince and convict of sin and apply the cleansing word. The water of the laver was only for the redeemed ones. If you weren't saved, you'd never reach to this point, because you had to get saved to get to this point. And the Holy Spirit's for believers tonight. The Bible says He'll give the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. And God wants us to obey Him and believe Him and accept all He has for us. Why would God's people not want what He has for them? I want everything God has for me. I want it all. I want more and more. Praise God. Tarry ye, Jesus said in Luke 24:49, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued from on high with the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The ministry of the Spirit gives fitness for service. The priest must wash lest he die. He had to cleanse himself before he could do the service. He had to be clean. And God wants us to be clean and to keep getting clean and to keep going on with God and going on with the things of God. Unless we're kept in constant touch with the Holy Spirit, the laver of our testimony, He said these priests would die if they didn't continually do this. Praise God. And I tell you, you know, there's a lot of Christians today and they're not going forward, they're going backwards. They're sitting at home. They're content to sit at home. They're content to stay away from the house of God. They're content not to read their Bible. Some of them's content even not to pray. Now that's backsliding. And God does not want us to go back. He wants us to go forward with Him and march on with the things of God. The fact that these two vessels, laver and the altar, were separated the one from the other may also teach us that the receiving of the Spirit is a definite, personal, separate experience from salvation. They were set apart. They were separate. You come to the cross, then you come to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they're two separate experiences. And they're two experiences that need it if you're ever going to go into that Shekinah glory. These are the two things you must have first. Amen. And God can give them for us. And He's provided them. Where? In the tabernacle. What's that? Christ. It's all in Christ. All provided. Acts 19, verse 2 to 6. And He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto Him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And He said unto them, unto what we are baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. I'll tell you, He rebaptized these boys. Because the baptism they had was all right for the time before Jesus was glorified. But after Jesus was glorified, it was an invalid baptism. They needed a new baptism. An up-to-date revelation and an up-to-date baptism was what they needed. They needed an Acts 2:38 experience. And that's exactly what the Word of God says to God. Then Paul, John, verily baptized them of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe in Him who should come after Him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's no more mentions titles. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38. And look what it says in verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Here's two things that people say is no longer in the church, but yet the early church experienced it. It went with them, it followed with them, and if we claim our Pentecost, we need the same thing. Amen. The same Pentecostal outpouring, the same Pentecostal blessing, because Jesus Christ remembers Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. The Lord's not changed. When people say God doesn't do it like that today, God does do it, but just they might have the faith to believe it. But God still does it. Amen. Like the man said, if you haven't got the faith to go somewhere and do something, don't stop the man or the woman that has the faith to do it. Don't stand in their way. Let them at it. Amen. Amen.
And you know, a fella came to Ian Paisley one time and he says to him, Brother Paisley, I'm going to have a word with you about a certain fella in the meeting. And Paisley said to him, what's the problem? And he says, he's far too loud. Far too loud. And he says, you're going to have to pull him to the side and have a talk with him because he's disturbing everything. He's far too loud in the service. And Big Paisley says to him, he says to the man, tears, it took him long enough to get started. And I'm not going to stop him. Amen. It took him long enough to get started shouting. And I'm not going to stop him. Amen. And I tell you, we need to shout in the camp. Praise God. Shout in the camp. And that's what we need tonight, is shout in the camp. And the Holy Spirit will definitely give you a shout. I can tell you that now. And give you a shout of victory. The blessing of the labor can only be enjoyed with those who wish to serve in the holy place. If a buddy doesn't want to go no further, if they say tongues is not for me, then it's not then. That's all right, it's not. But it'll be for somebody else that wants it. Praise God. But don't stand in front of the man or woman that's praying and wants it. Because God's going to give it to them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, thank God for the blessing. You see, there's many and they don't want to press on into the presence of God, so they know nothing of the special ministry of the labor and little of the fellowship of God. Christ was crucified to save us. He was glorified, sanctified, John 7:39. If we have been saved by his blood, so may we be taught and may we be filled with the Spirit of God. God wants us to go on with the things of God. And I'm going to stop in a moment, and the time's going. I want you to see for a moment its form. Now the form of this labor, there's something about this labor, and all the things I can tell you, it's a cubic and a half or 3 cubits, but I can't tell you that about this labor in the same way. The measurements is not laid out like the other things, and there's a reason for that. You know, some of our boys says there was a mistake in it. There's no mistakes in this Bible. A fellow said to me one day, he says, you know, there's mistakes in the Bible. I met him not so long ago. He said there was mistakes in the Bible. I had a look at it once and there's mistakes in it. I said, is that right? And I said, did you find them? He says, I did. I says, well, I want you to start quoting me them right now. Tell me. Because I said, I've been reading the Bible for over 30 years and I haven't found any. Well, they just can't remember now. I says, when in, you don't know where they are. I said, if you've read the mistakes, let me hear them. He couldn't tell me one. I went to a man's yard one day, and the fellow with me, we're going to do paving for him. And the fellow was with me, you know, he turned around and said, this fellow's a preacher. He done it, you know, to get a bit of a laugh, you see. And he said, this fellow's a preacher. And he says, are you? I says, am I? I says, I'm a preacher, word of God. And he says, I don't believe in God. I says, there you are. Hardly something to boast about, is it? And he went on anyway and talked away and everything. And I knew it set the trap for himself. And I just, you know, my grandfather used to say, if you give a goat enough rope, it'll hang itself. And the next thing you know, he says to me, why did God let this happen? Why did God let that happen? And I caught the heart of him with a shirt. And I gave him a bit of a tug. And I says, here, boy, thought you told me you didn't believe in God. Oh, don't, I says to him, why are you blaming God? I says, for a man that doesn't believe in God, you're blaming him on a lot of stuff. I says, I think you're a real believer, boy, really. You're only kidding these boys. You really do believe in God. Because you're blaming him just about everything. And you see, when everybody went away and there's only me and him, I got talking to him. And he wasn't as big of an unbeliever as he thought he was. But you see, society wants to brainwash people that there's no God. And if God was there, why would this happen? And why would someone else happen? And then you have the other side of the coin. We're all to blame. And God will judge everything and he'll wipe out everything overnight. And if you don't get down on your knees, look, if you're saved and repented, you don't need to repent again. Why would you repent again if you are repented and you're saved? You're saved! And I'm going to tell you now, the wrath of God's going to come on everything when there wouldn't be one of us left. We're living in a day of grace and mercy. The things happen in the world, we know that, but we're still living in the day of grace and mercy when God can save. Amen. When Moses received the instructions, the labor, and it says, it talks about his fruit, and you read it in Exodus 38 there in verse 8, and you read it in Exodus 30 as well. No mention at all is made of the size or the shape. At first sight, one wonders at this. It is an overlook. That's that's what some people would say. God can make a mistake. He doesn't.
Every commission with him is an emphatic and a declaration. It's perfect. Everything with God. It is surely significant that the vessel which represents the work of the Holy Spirit should not be limited to the particular form of size. I want you to get this evening. It's not measured on shape because the Holy Spirit cannot be limited to the form or a size. The Holy Spirit can move anywhere and everywhere at the same time. You can't put the Holy Ghost in a box. Amen. He's not limited with unbelief. He's not limited with somewhere people don't want it. God will have people everywhere that does want it. Praise God. The Bible says in John 3:8, the wind bloweth whither it listeth, now hears the sound thereof, but canst not tell whither it cometh or whither it goeth. That's the wind of the Holy Spirit. God will move, and who let it? That's the word of God. God will move, and who let it? People say God could not move down there. God's going to do nothing. No, boys, give me a whole big lecture and tell me how God wouldn't do anything and how God wouldn't move, and then he lay at home. He shut at home. So will I abandon all then because somebody else thinks nothing's happening? Will I throw the hands up and throw all up and abandon all? My dear brother and sister, what would he have told Noah? Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. Noah never seen a big revival of multitudes getting saved. Noah never seen anything of God, but Noah remained faithful. Faithful to God. Only 8 people, but he remained faithful. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Noah remained faithful, and the Bible calls him righteous Noah. And him and his house were saved, and the rest perished. Enoch walked with God. You don't read of Enoch having some sort of revival meetings. You don't read of anything like that anywhere about Enoch. Now, maybe he did, I don't know, but you don't read of it. But he walked with God, and God took him. We need to get our eyes off on works and get our eyes on Christ. And if we can get close enough to the Lord, he will do something. I'll guarantee you that. God will do something if we can get close enough to him. How many believe that tonight? Amen. Why was the laver not made of wood and brass like the altar? The answer seems clear and unmistakable. Christ was both divine and yet the God-man. The God-man. God in flesh. Spurgeon called him the God-man. God in Christ, Isaiah 9, verse 6. Praise God. The other vessels of the tabernacle of staves, its shafts, for carrying them, the labor of none. This may also confirm the interference that we have here, not only a work represented by a divine person. We're saved by the work of Jesus Christ for us. We're sanctified by the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Hallelujah. The Lord's work on the cross saves us. But when the day of Pentecost has fully come, the Holy Spirit was sent. Jesus says in my name. Amen. Now we know it wasn't some other person. It's the same Holy Spirit. There's one Spirit. There's only one Spirit. There's some people preach 2 Spirits, but I don't believe that. I believe there's one Holy Spirit. You know, how many know the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary and she conceived by the Holy Ghost? That's the Bible. Then the Bible says God is the Father of Jesus. Well, if the Holy Spirit and God's not the same one, then he had 2 fathers. But he didn't have, because the Holy Spirit and God are the same one. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:11 tells us, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Spirit of our God. I'm going to come to a close this evening. I have lots more I could say, but I don't want to. I want to give time. Some people want prayer, and I want to give time for to pray for people. And we'll switch it off in a moment for reverence to pray. And God bless you this evening. If there's any tonight, maybe listening in, and you want prayer this evening. Before we come to close, we want to pray for you now and give opportunity for prayer. And even in this room, let's close our eyes this evening and just bow before the Lord. And I know there's people tonight, and I could say those that want to go on further, put your hand up. And I'm sure many would, but I'm not going to do that. But I want you where you're sitting yourself. I don't need to see your hand. I want you to make a fresh commitment in yourself to God. Now you're saved. This is for the saved. But I want you to make a fresh commitment to God and say, Lord, I want you to help me to go on further with you and fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost. And I believe God will hear your prayer. And those tuned in tonight, if you're not saved, you need to get right with God. You need to repent of your sins and call on the name of the Lord. And those that's saved, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God to live in this wicked generation. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you tonight for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We pray you will bless your word till all of our hearts. We ask you this evening, Lord Jesus, that you'll touch everyone in this room. Minister to each and every one of us by the Holy Spirit. And Father, for those tuned in tonight, minister to them by the Holy Spirit. I pray when the voice of the preacher is silent, that the word and the Holy Spirit will speak on and move on. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. I'm going to get Gary to come and sing one song, and then I'm going to be switching off, and then we're going to pray. There's at least one person wants prayer, and I'm going to ask the elders to come after we sing one song and pray for our brother Matthew. Wants prayer, and he's an abscess and it's sore looking in his mouth. And anyone else wants prayer this evening, and you come, and the Bible says, call the elders of church, anoint with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. So brother's going to sing a song, and then I'm going to be turning off, and those that's joined in this evening online, the Lord bless you, and may God bless you this week. We'll be here again Thursday night at 7:30 for prayer and Bible study. God bless each one this evening.
Let us stand on our feet and we'll sing that little chorus. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved and sanctified I am.
I